Hey everybody, this is Mike.
And it's Sean.
And this is Matt. We're you're listening to Ranks for Nothing, the podcast where we talk about movies, music, TV shows, and video games, and all that bullshit. And I'm kind of sick right now, so I apologize in advance. But this episode, we're going to talk about Darkest Hour and their new album, which is fucking, I don't have it in front of me. Oh, Godless Prophets and the Migrant Flora.
Yeah. Which is a really weird name.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck it means, yeah.
It feels like the, remember when that shitty, what the hell was their name? Limp Bizkit put out that album. It was called like Hot Dog Water or something.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Hot Dog Flavored Water.
Yeah, and something Starfish
chocolate,
or some shit.
Chocolate Starfish? Yeah. That's
chocolate
it.
Chocolate Starfish. That's fucking stupid.
Fucking denim, this is like, denim chicken.
Denim chicken.
Is that a one?
No, I wish.
Oh. That's from Sonny. But Godless Prophets and the Migrant Flora is like just a little bit less dumb as that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, what does it mean? What are they trying to say with this shit?
What are you trying to do? Yeah. Like, I get Godless Prophets. That makes sense.
I don't know what the fuck Migrant Flora is.
Yeah, why end the Migrant Flora?
Who knows? Only they do.
Whatever.
I don't know if flowers migrate.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that. And then we're also going to talk about the new Acceptance album, Colliding by Design, which we've slowly been listening to.
Yeah. Everyone's finally listened to it now.
Month or so.
Yeah. And,
so now that we've all listened to it a couple times, we'll chat about that. But first up, let's do this Darkest Hour jam.
Woo!
Woo! Woo! Woo! So, Sean.
Yeah.
I think you said that you really like this album.
I do.
I do.
What you like about it?
Everything. I don't know. I don't like not like anything about it.
Okay.
It's definitely completely out of, from what I know Darkest Hour as, it's like out of the realm, but they
yeah,
fucking
it's not their huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
definitely.
It's got a lot of like riffy parts, but some of the parts, like my favorite track, track 5. It starts off with this like
title?
A super
The Flesh and the Flowers of Death.
Flesh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Okay.
It starts off with just like a super kind of half beat like black metal riff.
Yes.
Like it sounds like the Black Dahlia Murder. It's fucking awesome.
That song was weird. That song gets like hella metal. There's like
even
like a really like I'm not too crazy about their solos.
But I could care
less
about
really,
that.
That one had a really cool solo in it.
Yep.
Like it fit really well with the song. But yeah, it was kind of ripping. But
that's probably my favorite track.
Yeah, that one was cool.
5 and 6. But the track after that's pretty fucking good too. Those Who Survived. I think that was one of the singles that they released when they first released it.
Yeah, on the whole, it's like it's just a very super heavy album.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huge on the drums, like, on both of them.
Yeah, and I was surprised. I forgot that Ryan Parrish wasn't in the band anymore, the drummer.
Yeah, he hasn't been for... I don't know if he was on the last album.
The last album was...
I know he quit a while ago.
He was not on the last album, but he was on every album up to that.
Yeah.
So he hasn't been on these last two.
Mm-hmm.
But the new guy, his name's Travis Orban.
Yeah, I don't know where they got him from.
I have no idea, but he's a fucking beast.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, fucking solid.
Words out of my mouth.
So good.
Fucking ridiculous.
Fucking, when I saw him live in the, at the beauty bar, fucking, he was drumming with his shirt off, and man, he's fucking ripped as fuck.
Oh, snap.
But he's literally like a fucking beast. He's just sitting there drumming, fucking not moving. Like his head and torso are totally still, and his arms are just going at it. It's fucking weird.
No, he's one of those guys.
Yeah.
He's like a lot of East Coast drummers do that for some weird reason. Like the drummer from Crime and Stereo drums like that, where it's like all arms and nothing else moves.
Yeah, so weird looking.
I have a my buddy.
It's very weird.
The original drummer for Move Forward, our buddy Jake, kind of does the same thing, which is funny.
Oh, really?
Just super, like, I don't know. He's just like a punk rock roots drummer, but essentially that's his move.
Yeah.
That's his go-to.
He totally reminded me of fucking... You remind me of Jason Momoa, the fucking actor. he's got like kind of like long, not Damn. Long hair, but he's got curly hair. But yeah, he's a big fucking dude.
Looks Damn, that's awesome.
Crazy. Yeah, but he kills it on this album. Like Ryan Parrish is not an easy person to fill their shoes in.
Yeah, no
he
shit.
Fills it. And he kind of takes it. I think he fits what they're doing a little bit better than Ryan Parrish could. Just because it's a little bit of a different type of style.
Yeah, at least the newer stuff, yeah.
Yeah, totally. But there's a song, I forget which track it is, but This Is the Truth, mm-hmm. which
number two.
He does some crazy drum stuff on, like, there's really cool guitar lines, but those drums are crazy in there. Ugh. They're, like, super intense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Number two, or it has that like drum intro, which is fucking
yeah. That's track two. Yeah,
I was gonna say I think that is that one.
Yeah,
I think that's that same song that I was just thinking of too, actually. So, but the whole album on the whole, it's like Sean said, it's a pretty big departure from old stuff.
Yeah, they
like,
don't.
And the thing I miss about, like, to me, what I really like about Darkest Hour is their like guitar leads.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the very melodic.
Like Swedish death metal sounding.
Yeah. And they've definitely moved away from that. Like, it's gotten more just like straight up death metal or, you know, I don't even know what the hell you want to call it.
Yeah. It's just I mean, there's some like blast beats in there, but not very much. Other than that, it's just mm-hmm. like super thrashy death metal.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that's the best way to describe it. Cause it's hella like dirty sounding. Like,
yes.
At the same time, like their older shit, which is cool. It's not very like overproduced or just like weird effects or anything on it.
Mm-hmm.
Just solid fucking guitar tones.
Yeah. But like, so there's not as much of that, which kind of sucks. Like there's not as much of that like melody within the guitars, which to me, that was their selling point. Like,
yeah.
That's true. That was their thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, that's what was catchy. Like to me, like music always needs some sort of melody to it. And now there's not as much of it in their music because those leads aren't there.
Yeah, it's just super aggressive riffs.
Yeah. And I think like since like Mark of Judas and So Sedated, So Secure, which are two of my favorites. So Sedated, So Secure is fucking amazing. Yeah. And every album after that kind of got further and further away from that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And like this album's really good, but it's not something like, I don't think I'd ever go like, oh, I want to listen to Darkest Hour and then be like, ooh, I want to listen to Godless Prophets. You know what I mean? It'd be like,
well, yeah,
I'm totally going to go to their back catalog.
I don't think it's your go-to Darkest Hour album, but it's fucking good. Like,
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah, it's
this
good
is probably going to be my top, like one of my top albums for the year, I think.
Really? You think so?
Oh, absolutely. At least for me.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, you think so?
at least for like the metal hardcore, maybe.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to beat it. I mean, it'll probably land at like, at least top three for a fucking year-end review, you know?
Yeah, I have to see how, like, listen to it every couple of weeks or so, every month or so, and just check back in on it and see how I feel about it.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, like, overall, I thought it was good, but it's nothing that's, like making me really want to listen to it a whole lot, you know what I mean?
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, but there was a couple, like, I think it was the first song.
That first song fucking kills.
The Knife in the Safe Room.
Yeah, it's so good. Fuck.
It's really cool. That I like that, and that second track, This Is the Truth, but that Knife in the Safe Room song, when that chorus hits, it surprised the hell out of me.
Yeah, totally.
That's not what I expected from them. Like everything kind of elevated and it sounded like a power as poppy as you can get with them and that style of music. Mm-hmm. But it definitely like had that like pop chorus sound going. It was really weird. Like it totally switched gears on the song, which was surprising, which was cool.
Yeah, that's good. That's probably one of my two favorite tracks are 5 and 6. And then
which ones are those?
That Flesh and the Flowers of Death.
Okay.
Than Those Who Survived. Those two back to back. I don't know why. I think they kind of blend together really well too.
Okay.
So that kind of like, I feel like it like leads into the track six. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Kind of flows in pretty good.
There's parts of Flesh and the Flowers that I liked. I think other than those first two songs, my other favorite is the last track, Beneath It Sleeps.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah. I think mostly because it had like the guitar work that I like about them. Like there was some of that going on in like the verse and stuff. So that was neat.
Is that the one kind of fades out and it's kind of like electronic-y or something at the end, or like some string instruments or something?
It might be. Okay. Honestly, I forget.
I feel like that's how the album ends.
I think I didn't listen to it in the past like 2 or 3 days. Oh, okay. So it's not fresh in my mind.
Yeah, the songs start to blend together when you haven't listened to it recently.
Yeah.
I think I listened to it the other day.
Yeah.
Especially with an album like this too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it's all just
with no catchy riffs.
Yeah. Nothing and not out. Even like a, there's a little bit of like sing-along-y parts, but for the most part, it's just assault.
Yeah.
Eardrum assault.
Totally.
It's fucking machine gun drums.
Trigger City.
But on the whole, it was good. It's just super heavy. Yeah. If you're into like really heavy music and you like Darkest Hour, and you will enjoy this. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But
I recommend
if you don't like any of that. Yeah. If you don't like any of that, you probably won't like it.
Yeah. Listen to their older stuff.
And go fuck yourselves.
And go fuck yourself.
See, I don't think I listened to their last album, their self-titled one.
Dude, I went back because after this came out. Yeah, I listened to some of that one and that self-titled. It was kind of weird.
What was the one?
I didn't even know it existed until like a few weeks ago.
Yeah. I thought Human Romance was the last one.
Before that was Eternal Return and then Deliver Us.
Yeah, I did not listen to the last one. Maybe I did, but not like crazy. I remember Deliver Us was probably the last one that I somewhat enjoyed.
Yeah, one of them, it sounds like they have the Linkin Park singer. I think that's like the self-titled one, I'm pretty sure.
Really?
Yeah, it's the vocals are just not that good.
That's weird.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah, Hidden Hands was cool. I liked that one.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Away. That was hit and miss.
It got away from like the sound that I liked, but Hidden Hands was like on the whole pretty decent. But Deliver Us was all right.
I'm doing Rumors.
Yeah, I don't
good.
Think... I don't think I listened to the Eternal Return. I remember listening to Human Romance, though. And I enjoyed Human Romance. This was kind of like a build off of that. It's like very similar.
Yeah, Romance
just
is good.
A lot of heavy, a lot of just heaviness.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But, yeah, check it out. If not.
Check it.
Oh, well. Chickity, chickity.
Check yourself.
Check yourself. So the other album that we've been like building on for the past few episodes.
We finally all got around to listening to it.
Yeah. Started with Sean just being like, hey, you should listen to this. And me and Matt going like, I don't know about that.
give it a try.
I thought they were totally done.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, they were for the past like fucking 7 years or some shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least.
So Acceptance came out with a new album called Colliding by Design. When did this come out?
Like
last
a month
year,
ago.
Wasn't it?
No, it just came out like a month ago.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh. Whenever I told you guys to listen to it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, February 24th.
Yeah, there you go. Huh. Almost exactly a month.
December.
Almost exactly a month ago. But this was, it was interesting.
It is.
I liked it more than I thought I would.
Yeah, I think I did too. Yeah, for sure. But what would you think, Matt? Overall, what'd you think?
Yeah, it totally has like that 80s vibe that Sean was mentioning last time.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of has like a Duran Duran, Tears for Fears kind of sound to it. Mm-hmm. Which is pretty cool. I like Tears for Fears and Duran Duran. So
why not?
I like those things.
So it's just like a new album from them kind of thing. So it's pretty good.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's nothing like their first album, The Phantoms.
No.
Yeah, not at all.
It's not like that pop punk or pop rock kind of stuff they did.
Yeah. They might as well just like kept the same singer and that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, I kind of like because I was never a huge fan of them or Phantoms.
Mm-hmm. So good.
But, this was not bad. I think overall it was a little too much on like the pop, like the synthy side of stuff.
Yeah.
Like I feel like they used it maybe a little too much.
Yeah.
But, But I thought that the on the whole it was pretty good, and that there's a couple songs that I really liked. It's sometimes it reminded me of a little bit of that Cobra Starship band.
That makes sense. Okay.
With the dude from Midtown.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Totally.
So it has like the same type of feel, like they both came from pop punk and then did like a dancey.
It's like less dancey, but dancey 80s dance. It's weird.
Yeah, it's like
it's not like a club dance, you know?
No.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't be clubbing to it.
It's more pop than it is dance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, it was good. I think the first track was probably one of my favorite. Diagram of a Simple Man.
Yep.
I think what I liked about it was that I feel like that's their wheelhouse, that's where they need to be, like more on like the rock edge of things. Like it's more
just
of like
pop rock power straight up.
Yeah. Like power pop punk.
Exactly.
But it has those like synth kind of tones to it, which works. Mm-hmm. And there's just enough of it where it fits like the tone. But yeah. What about you? That song was cool. Anything else? What you guys like?
So I think I like the second song the most. I think that had the most like Tears for Fears feeling during that little solo part.
Yeah, the title track.
Oh, Colliding by Design.
Yeah, the title.
The title song.
Yeah, that was all right. I feel like, if I'm remembering correctly, that was the one where I kind of felt a little bit like on the edge about it.
Oh.
Like I liked it, but I didn't know if I was like all about it. Like, I think that was a little bit too far into it for me.
It's like what do you know them for?
Like the synthy stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think when a band goes like in a new direction like this, you think they should just be a different band, or like they should rename themselves?
It's kind of weird.
It depends. Like, I think it really depends on A, like the vocals of the singer. Mm-hmm. If it's a different dude, maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think with this, I think it was not a smooth transition because obviously I haven't done shit in like 7 years or 10 years or whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's all the same members, so...
Yeah, that's weird. Because it has been such a long time. That's why I feel like they might as well have just been like a whole new band.
Or renamed themselves.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah, there's like pros and cons to like... So like the pro would be like they have some name recognition so people would check it out no matter what.
Yeah.
But the pro of having a whole new band would be that they wouldn't be tied to that old... Like,
yeah, it'd be starting
all people
over.
Would be starting fresh, you know what I mean? So we wouldn't be talking about this like, oh, you know, I like this because it reminds me of that, or you know what I mean? It'd just be like, oh, yeah, that was cool because it's their first album. Mm-hmm. So it'd just be like, oh, this is, you know, it's kind of like that Dream Car thing, like with No Doubt, with the guys from No Doubt. So like if they were just like No Doubt and had Davey Havoc was singing for them, I'd be like, I don't know if this is like
that's
the right
weird.
Thing because it's not No Doubt.
Yeah, that would be pretty weird.
When you just say you're a whole new band, then it makes sense in that realm, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But No Doubt's on a whole different tier than fucking Acceptance.
That's true.
So
yeah.
They can say members of No Doubt and people are still going to check it out
based
on that.
Yeah.
Whereas if you said Members of Acceptance, I don't know if that many people would check it out or not.
Yeah, it'd be a small group of people.
Yeah. But, yeah, there was the song, this album, did you guys listen to, like, newer Dredge albums?
I haven't listened. Chuckles. Oh, fuck. I haven't listened to that band in, like, years.
Yeah, I think after
not really
that Fly album, I stopped listening.
Okay, so on that one, they had, like, a little bit of, like, kind of dancey, synthy stuff going on.
Weird. Okay.
And then they put a new album out called Chuckles and Mr. Squeezy. Fucking weird-ass album name, another one. And that album was, like, totally, like, flipped. Like, it was a lot of synth and, like, a lot of drum triggers and, like... this album kind of reminded me of that, where it's like rock oriented kind of music, but with like electronic vibe. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Do they have vocals?
But I think on Dredge, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Are they, did they used to be like very kind of spacey rock stuff?
A little bit. They're very like artsy. Okay. Let's put it that way. Okay. Like artsy indie rock.
Okay.
Like
progressive rock.
I think I've seen them once before, but I can't remember.
Yeah. Yeah. They're really good live.
Yeah,
they're
super good
live. I think I saw them. I think I saw them with Thrice, if I'm not correct.
Was that the House of Blues?
Twice. I saw him at the House of Blues, and I seen him at the Huntridge, I think.
Hmm. Yeah, I saw him at the House of Blues once. Remember, like, I think they were like one of the opening acts.
Yeah.
And when they were done, the drummer kept playing, and they slowly took away his pieces, and he kept.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, he tried to play like as much as possible with what he had.
Yeah, and it was down to like just like a hi hat and a snare, and it was just a snare.
I've seen the Chariot do that too, which is kind of funny.
That's funny.
Catch Without Arms, but, that's the album I was thinking.
Yeah, yeah, Catch Without Arms. That's a really good album. Yeah. And you should check out Chuckles and Mrs. Squeezy. It's really good. Like, super good. But what the comparison with that is that, like, with Dredge, I think I like them more because doing this because, like, their rhythm section is so tight. Dredge has, like, their bass player is fucking amazing. And for me, like, this type of music...
needs a solid bass department.
Yeah, whether it's like poppy or synthy or something, like you need that bass and drums to like really drive that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the bass player doesn't have that in him, or at least he doesn't show it on this type of stuff. And it's he's like a rock bassist in like a groovy world.
Yeah,
and it just doesn't like it doesn't put it over the top. Where if like some of these like kind of more synthy songs had like a fucking killer ass bass line, it would take that shit to the next tier, and I'd be like, hell yeah. But it does as of now, he just kind of follows the guitars, and it's just it doesn't really do
yeah,
much
it's just
for me.
Cut and dry kind of recording.
It's
on that.
Like I said, it's just like simple rock bass. Yeah. There's nothing really going on with it.
Yeah,
but
ain't no Primus, I tell you that much.
Hell's not. He ain't got no big brown beard.
Fucking Primus. From the south.
Yeah, man.
You didn't know
Cotton Montana. Eye Joe wasn't it? Didn't they, no, they didn't do Cotton Eye Joe, did they? No.
No, they did not. No.
Yeah, whatever. Who did Cotton Eye Joe?
I don't know.
Fuck.
I don't think anyone did Cotton Eye Joe.
just everybody's fucking imagination.
Everyone's one-hit wonder.
I'm going to look it up right now.
But there was two. The song Sunset was kind of cool. It had a really cool groove, and that was one thing that I liked about it. The bass was neat on that song, and the guitars kind of worked with it. And the funny thing about that song is it kind of reminded me of like a Phil Collins, like Genesis type of song.
Dude, what did I say? Yeah. Genesis all the way.
And it was just like, and it kind of builds, and it's like kind of slow, and then it picks up again, and it's just like, oh yeah, that's kind of neat.
Yep.
but on that song, like, I think another thing besides the bass is the guy's vocals. He's a really good singer. I'm not saying he's a bad singer or anything, but I think his voice works better on like the kind of rockish sounding stuff.
The roller stuff.
Rather than like, and even like on this album, like just the songs that are a little bit more rocky, rather than like the straight, like kind of triggered dancey, not even dance, but you know what I mean? Like
yeah,
the poppier
electronic
songs,
shit.
Like the synth songs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I feel like it doesn't fit as well with those as it does on like the more like rock oriented songs.
Yeah.
But on that Sunset song, it works really well. But on others, it just seems to like lack a little bit, but
yeah, it's a very digital album at that. It's definitely completely different from anything else they've done, obviously, but I'm interested to see if they either keep going or like what their next album is going to sound like.
I was just going to say that same thing, because I think if they refine this sound a little bit and go like all in on it and just kind of like pick out the things that work really well and just push it to be better, I think that next album could be really good. But yeah, other than that, that song Come Closer was cool.
That was probably my favorite song on there.
Yeah. And especially that had that same like kind of drum, like the drums kind of pick up. And
exactly.
It was kinda
neat. It's more upbeat.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, decent album.
Real
definitely,
good.
Definitely worth checking out to see if you like it or not. But
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I've known.
The best ever.
I talked to some of my buddies who also like Acceptance a whole lot. And one of them checked him out. Yeah, you know, I was like, think of it just like if the Killers did a really good album or some shit. And he's like, all right, I'll check it out. But he actually like he's like a big Acceptance fan and he does not like the new album at all. So it just really depends.
I could totally see that. I mean, if you're gung ho about Acceptance and you like that old sound that they have, this is not gonna be for you.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't compare to that shit at all.
No. It's nothing like Phantoms.
Mm-hmm. No.
Take it or leave it.
Yeah. Take it or leave it.
You know they broke up because of that single release, you know? Originally. Did you ever hear that?
What single release?
So when they released Different on Phantoms as a single, that's what broke the band up.
What?
Why?
Yeah, that's why they broke up. That song broke them
why?
Up. I think there was just like a feud between whoever chose to release a song and the rest of the band.
Okay, because I was going to say, I thought that they had like a whole bunch of shit going on with the label that they were going on.
Could be too. Yeah, because...
Because wasn't it like a major label? Like
they're all fucking like Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
I believe.
And I think that there was like some shady ass shit going on. Like, I think that they put like spyware on the CD because it like leaked like 2-3 months before it was like released.
I never heard that. That's crazy.
And they like put like spyware on the CD so that if you tried to rip MP3s, it like fucked up your computer.
Jesus Christ. Like,
there's some crazy shit that like supposedly happened around that album. And then
that's nuts.
Like after all this, like they basically just like.
Yeah.
Kicked them to the curb. They were like, fuck you guys. And then they gave them no support or anything. It was just like this huge clusterfuck.
Yeah,
from what I remember, there was like something going on like that.
Yeah, the singer even... Yeah, he even talks about it at shows. He's like, this is the song that broke us up. And they play different. Yeah. So I don't know if it was like within the band or that shit involved too, but essentially that's what kind of ended them. But they also kicked out their drummer because he was gay, but now he's back in the band.
What? Damn.
I don't know, that's just a rumor that I heard. I don't know if that's true or not.
Were they like a Christian band?
They were, yeah.
Okay.
Kinda. That not a Christian sense. Band, but they were all like pretty, I think, heavily Christian.
Yeah, because that was another one of those things that I didn't really dig about them.
Yeah, so they kicked him out, but he's back in the band now, so maybe they came to terms with it or hate God.
All right. Maybe he got gay converted.
Yeah.
Maybe Pence sent him to,
went
to camp.
Gay camp or something. Straight camp, I guess.
Fucking ridiculous.
Gays weren't accepted back in 2005. So they had to kick them out.
That wasn't
gays are a whole new thing nowadays.
Yeah.
So ridiculous. Oh, man. Well.
Cool.
All right.
What else
has been going on?
Yeah, we got anything else to talk about?
Nope. I think we're done. See you guys.
Bye.
Super easy.
Fucking cakewalk this week.
Man, going back to playing video games.
Oh, also, Cotton Eye Joe was performed by Rednecks with an X.
Yeah, I was looking that up.
Nice. Yeah. Well, Cotton Eye Joe's like a, it's like a square dance song. Like, it's not like...
Yeah, it's just like a fucking
like
bar song.
They those lyrics.
I think so.
They just made it into the fucking dance remix that is played every fucking where.
Yeah, Wikipedia says the origins of Cotton Eye Joe predate the Civil War.
I could see that, yeah. It's like
it's
I said,
fucking
it's like
old-timey
it's
song.
It's an old-timey song.
Yeah. That's nuts.
I mean, where did you come from and where did you go, you know?
There's like four lines to that song and that's it.
I mean, where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe?
I was trying to say what comes next, but couldn't think of it.
This has got to be the bonus footage at the end of the weekly roundup.
This is in the meat, man.
This is the episode.
Oh, okay. All right. Never mind. We're still going. And we're back.
Yeah, we're... Oh, shit. Oh, man. So, did you guys watch... I know you did, Matt. Sean, did you watch that trailer for Baby Driver?
Yes. Yeah, the one you sent to us? Yeah.
That movie looks cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. I probably won't see it. It's just a dude driving around. It doesn't really fucking entertain me that much. His name's Baby. This is weird.
That is weird. I'll give you that.
What the fuck? Who thinks of this shit?
Oh, man. That's so funny.
Because he's so sexy.
Maybe I'll watch it for free or something.
Oh, man. So that's by Edgar Wright. So it's his new movie.
Yeah.
And he's the guy that did, what was it, Shaun of the Dead?
Hot Fuzz.
Scott Pilgrim movie.
Oh, that's probably why I don't like it.
Really? Yeah. You don't like Shaun of the Dead?
No, I don't like any of that shit.
Oh, shit.
Fucking xenophobe over here.
I'm not crazy. I think Shaun of the Dead's all right. I think Shaun of the Dead's all right. I usually hate British films, but his movies I can tolerate.
I love Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead's all right. Hot Fuzz is really cool. That movie surprised me. I like that a lot more than I was expecting to.
I didn't rewatch that. I only saw it once when it first came out.
Yeah.
I wasn't thrilled.
I was going to say, it was a lot better than I was expecting it to be. And then I love Scott Pilgrim. I love the comic book, and I thought he did a great job.
Yeah, that was fun.
Adapting. Yeah.
I like that one.
Fun thing, if you ever watch it on like DVD or Blu-ray, there's this cool, like, I don't know what you want to call it, like pop-up video facts about the movie.
Oh, really?
Like you can watch it with it, which is kind of fun.
I wish more like, movies did that stuff.
Yeah, it's like during this scene, blah, blah, blah happened. Yeah. And I was like, ah, that was neat.
I think I'd rather have that than commentary, because then you can still watch the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
If you don't want to read it, don't read it.
Yeah. And The World's End was pretty decent, too.
Yeah, that was okay.
Yeah, not great, but it was good. But, yeah.
Does he ever explain, like, how all those three movies are connected?
I don't know. I think there's like theories out there. I don't know if there's like a concrete thing that he said.
It's like how the Pixar movies are all connected kind of thing.
Yeah, I think it's like one of those like similar to like Tarantino movies where it's like the same universe, but it's like weird connections between them.
I like that.
But Baby Driver looked pretty cool. I liked it looked like there's a lot of cool car stunts going on, which I like. You don't see too many like it's not like a big thing anymore.
Yeah, and, like actual cool real life cars.
Yeah, yeah.
Not this Fast and the Furious shit where it's all CGI cars.
Well, actually, a lot of the newer Fast and the Furious things use a lot of like real stunts, which is kind of cool. Hmm. I mean, there's a lot of CGI in there too, but they still do a lot of like live action stuff. But
who would have thunk?
Who'd have thunk it? Yeah, I was watching the Spectre James Bond movie, and that had some cool car stunts in it too.
I don't know why, but car movies just don't do it for me.
Really?
Not really. I like Gone in 60 Seconds.
That one's all right. I like the one with Nick Cage.
Yeah.
Or the old one.
Giovanni Ribisi. Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
That's a good movie.
There's only so much you could do with a car, so
exactly.
It's hard to come up with new stunts nowadays.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Dude, I watched this. I watched this movie a few weeks ago called Wraith. It's a fucking old like 1986 movie or some shit with Charlie Sheen.
Okay.
He's like a... Essentially, it's like some dude gets killed and the chick's like boyfriend comes back as like a car. And the dude who killed him is like in this weird car gang and they're into like racing and shit. And like this super small town. Like Charlie Sheen rides a dirt bike everywhere. It's pretty awesome.
I've heard of that. I've never seen it though.
It's on Netflix. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, is it?
That's how I watched it. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Other than that, like older ones are pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's movies that revolve around cars aren't always great, but you know, sometimes they show up. Like The Italian Job does like cool car stuff. You know what I mean? I think when it like adds to the plot and stuff.
Yeah, not just like, this is a car and he fucking drives around.
Yeah. But what was the one with Ryan Gosling?
Drive.
That was good. I like that movie.
That was so good.
You know that was a good movie.
Like, that movie was fucking awesome. And so, you know, there's movies out there that incorporate it well. And this looks like it has potential, which is cool. And knowing him, there's going to be some weird shit going on. Like, I don't know if he can make a straight through movie. Maybe he can.
Like a serious one.
Not necessarily like serious, but just like he's a kind of not weird, like eclectic maybe. He's just like a different dude. Like he just thinks about movies differently.
Who's that main character?
And who? Baby Driver?
Baby Driver.
Baby? Talking about Baby?
Who is Mr. Baby himself?
Who's Baby? I've never seen him before.
I've seen him before, and I can't. I'm trying to think, like, what the fuck? Ansel Elgort is his name.
The fuck? And he's from Transylvania?
He's from America.
Jesus.
He was in The Fault in Our Stars. That's where I've seen him from. He was in those Divergent Insurgent movies.
Oh.
That sounds like a death metal band.
You watch that shit?
I watched them. They were on like HBO or something. I didn't really particularly like them, but yeah. I generally like that type of movie, like that action adventure type of like world building types of movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Those ones weren't that good.
You know, The Maze Runner was actually kind of better than I thought it would be. I watched those.
Oh, was it? That's cool.
I was thinking they were going to be like the same type of Divergent shit. Where it's like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
But after watching, I was like, yeah, this is actually pretty entertaining.
Yeah. Oh, you know what movie I know him from? Do you see that Men, Women, and Children movie?
Oh, yeah.
With fucking Adam Sandler had a small part in it. Jennifer Garner.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He was in that. He was obviously one of the kids in that movie.
Hmm.
But that was a cool movie. I like that movie. That was a Jason Reitman movie.
Haven't seen it.
You haven't seen that?
No.
Jason Reitman I usually try to go out of my way to watch his movies.
No.
Makes good movies.
First, I thought you were talking about that. What's that movie? You, Me, and Everyone You Know.
Yeah. I know which movie you're talking about. That's like a good movie, too.
Yeah. That's probably the kids talking on the computer.
Yeah.
To the fucking sex porn girl.
Poop to poop. From my butt to your butt.
Oh, man. That shit was good.
That was good. That movie, Men, Women, Children, kind of has a similar tone to that movie, actually.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, yeah.
Check it out.
Yeah. It's good. Jason Reitman's, he did like Thank You for Smoking and Juno and Up in the Air and Young Adult, like all those like kind of serious but kind of funny movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Up in the Air is such a good movie. Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
That is good.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. All Jason Reitman movies are fucking good. And yeah, but Men, Women, Children was up there. It was good too. He's an interesting dude. I remember listening to an interview with him and basically he boiled it down to, He wants to make movies based on like one or two like sentences or like feelings, and then it's like one scene, and he's like, "All right, I'm making that movie because of that one scene or because of that one line or like
basing it around a concept or something."
Yeah, it was like very bizarre. It was just like, "Oh, that's kind of interesting."
That's a lot of thought.
Yeah,
it's just like, "All right, cool, I can get down with that." But he does a good job with his movies. But Baby Driver should be cool.
I hope Baby Metal does the soundtrack. God, that shit's so creepy. Fuck.
That shit is pretty good, though.
Dude, at first I was just like, damn, this shit's fucking heavy and jamming, kind of.
Yeah.
And then the vocals
then it creeps
is like,
you out once the kids
dude,
come on.
Yeah, what the fuck?
You know what? It reminded me of that that fucking, what was that band with the girl singer? Evanescence.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of that. Because it was just like kind of like generic kind of metal, but it was a little bit more on like the heavy metal spectrum rather than like the pop metal that Evanescence was.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy.
Yeah,
but it's actually like metalcore sounding almost.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's more modern rather than like new metal bullshit that Evanescence was.
Just super overproduced.
Super duper.
Hey, super. Did you guys watch the new Wonder Woman trailer by any chance? Or we're on trailers.
I think I did, actually, yeah.
The origin one?
Yeah, I think so.
It does look good.
That looks good. I'm really excited about that movie.
I hope it does well.
Yeah. That she was my favorite, like probably one of my favorite parts about fucking Batman versus Superman
too. That's a shame too. You'd think Batman versus Superman would be the best part of that movie, but
yeah, but it just like when she came on the scene, it was just like so well timed and so well like executed. It was just like, fuck yeah. You know what I mean? Like everything just built to that one part and it was just like, Jesus, this is awesome.
Man, I remember when I saw it in theaters, when she pops up, like her little theme song starts playing, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And at first I fucking hated it. I was like, this song is horrible. But now every time I see it, like on the trailer, I'm like, yeah, I'm starting to like it now.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely got like, it's cool because it's got like a modern feel to it, but it still has that like old aesthetic to it. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like it's got that, it's kind of like the James Bond theme. Like they can adapt it into so many things and it still works.
Yeah.
But That'll be cool. I think that cast that's around there is interesting too. With I think Robin Wright. I'm interested to see how that character plays out because she's a beast, man. She can fucking act.
She's from House of Cards, right?
Yeah, she's in House of Cards. She's been in so many. She's fucking Jenny from goddamn Forrest Gump.
Yeah, I always forget that.
Oh no, shit!
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah,
I did not realize that. Man, that's crazy.
She looks so different with short hair.
Yeah. She looks so different in like. She's got one of those like. She's kind of like I don't want to say like Brad Pitt, but like how they look the same, but like they look different like every time, like in everything that they're in. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
It's like very similar, but yet they do these like one little thing and it like totally changes how they look.
Yeah, they look unique for every character they do.
Yeah, for like every role. Like there's just one little thing that kind of tweaks. But yeah, so I think that's I'm most interested in seeing how that plays out because I think that's going to be a cool little back and forth to kind of watch her go at that. Like that's kind of a heavy hitter for a movie like that to get her in there.
Who is she in Wonder Woman? Is she the one that's training her in that trailer? She can't really see her face that well.
Yeah, that's her. The one that's like training her.
Oh, so she's not actually Wonder Woman.
No.
Oh, okay. No. I was going to say like, she looks fucking great. She hasn't aged at all.
No, she does look good. She's like, she's still like in mid 50s, maybe pushing 60 and she doesn't look it at all.
That's crazy.
Which is crazy. Yeah. But, yeah, so that'll be cool. But
man, everything's right. On
to the next thing. Yeah. Wonder Woman should be cool. I'm excited about that. Sean, you went and saw, or not went, but you watched John Wick finally?
I did. Yeah, I saw it last night.
Finally?
Yeah.
Where the hell have you been?
It's pretty awesome. I got to see the second one. Yeah. Is it still in theaters?
Eh, it might be. It's been out for a little while now.
I got to see if we have a dollar theater or some shit around here. Cause
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Might be in there. So that'd be tight.
Probably coming to those soon.
Yeah. It was good. The concept was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's like a super simple concept, and it fucking works well.
Yeah, I didn't expect the puppy to get killed, so that was sad as fuck.
That's why I love John Wick so much. Like, you fucking kill him all, kill him.
Yeah, that's pretty much what the whole movie is based off of.
Yeah,
but obviously they steal his car too. But
puppy,
it's pretty cool how
that's
it
where
like
the line was crossed.
Snowballs into that. Yeah, I thought him going and killing the dude was kind of inclimactic.
Yeah, a little bit.
Because you kind of don't even really know that if he shot him the right dude or not because it's from afar.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew. But yeah, it's just like, oh, he just comes and shoots him and walks away. Like, oh, really?
Because
Like the whole movie's building up to him getting back to him.
Yeah, exactly.
He does such a kick-ass job of doing all that. So once he finally gets to him, it's like, oh, that was
he just fucking shoots him and walks away. What the fuck? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But and it sucks because like at the same time, like he's such a good like killer basically like that's his job.
Yeah.
So you expect him to handle that in that situation. And that's what sucks about like the movie magic or guess whatever you want to call it. So like they could have played that up and done it to like, oh, it was like a big shootout or have it have like those climactic things. But when you boil it down, like he should be able to handle that dude quickly and easily. And that's how it played out. It just sucks that like in our minds we want like that
more
moviness to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's weird. I didn't really expect the whole thing kind of to turn back and like kind of circulate around his dad, the older guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like they had the big fight with at the end. I'm assuming he lived too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. I haven't.
He kills him at the end of that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think he does kill him.
Does he die?
Yeah.
Because he's still alive when like with a knife is in his neck or in his shoulder.
No,
and he just
like
walks away.
He stops breathing.
Does he?
Pretty sure.
Are you sure?
Motherfucker.
Just check his pulse.
Breathing.
Well, spoiler alert. He ain't the second one.
Put his finger under his nose.
Well, he must be dead then. Maybe he finally just died. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure he died like as he was walking away.
Yeah, I guess.
There's just no explosion in the background, so can't tell.
He didn't get blown to pieces. Yeah, it was pretty cool. Like, the action scenes were really good. You could definitely tell he took some, like, fucking tactical courses of how to fire a gun and shit.
Yeah,
the way
that's
he like
cool part.
Walks around and like shoots people from point blank range is fucking nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty. I like cool. that he actually took the time to do that stuff.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really good stuff that they kind of pulled off with that movie.
Yep,
which is cool.
Yeah. So yeah, chapter two is just more of the same. So you'll like it.
Great.
That's good. That's great.
I love it.
Fucking loving it. Oh man, I watched that. I don't feel at home in this world anymore. Which is it's a new Netflix movie that just started streaming within like the last month or so. probably about a month or so, and I've had it in my list since it popped up, and I was like, oh, that looks interesting. It's got Elijah Wood in it, and Melanie Lynskey, who I like her. She's in a bunch of like random things. Mm-hmm. She's in that Togetherness show that was on HBO with Mark Duplass, and she was in was she the one that was on fucking yeah? She was in Two and a Half Men. She played the weird fucking neighbor Rose.
Oh yeah, dark haired chick.
Yeah.
Never watched that.
So she's always been like a not a sidekick, but just like kind of like a side character.
Background.
You know what I mean?
Recurring character.
Yeah, and she's like slowly kind of like propped up into the front. I think she's from somewhere else. Where's she from? Look on IMDb. She's from fucking New Zealand.
Oh weird. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that was weird.
But
like she had like a yeah she had a starring role in that Togetherness show that was on HBO, and but everything that she's usually been in, I was like, oh, she's good, you know. She's been in, I think, a couple of Duplass brother movies and stuff like that too.
Yeah, she was in that Happy Christmas movie with
yeah, yep, that's the one I was thinking
Anna Kendrick
of.
That one was pretty good.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, she played Anna Kendrick's sister, I think, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I like that guy, that director. He did was it Drinking Buddies too, didn't he?
I don't know. Which movie was that?
With,
oh, I know.
Or who's, yeah, who
I
did know that, I mean?
What's her name? Olivia Wilde and... fuck, what's that one guy? He was in Jurassic World. The fucking nerdy guy with the mustache and glasses in the computer room.
Oh, yeah. That was really good. Oh, yeah. Drinking Buddies. Yep.
Old
yeah, he did do that.
Drinking Buddies.
Yeah. Seems like
the old Drinking Buddies. That was a good movie. Yeah. They were like brewers or something like that, right?
Yeah,
they
yeah. Like made they had like beer. Little micro brew.
Yeah. I don't think I've seen any of the other movies. Looking at it right now, but
pretty good.
Pretty.
Oh, man.
Pretty.
When's that shit coming back? Isn't it coming back
this
year?
Yeah, I think it does. I think it does come back this year.
Oh, I fucking love Curb Your Enthusiasm. Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I'm gonna curb your face.
Yeah, because I was watching something on HBO Go, and you know how they do like the little promos at the beginning of the show?
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like a promo for the John Oliver show.
Yeah,
and,
I saw that.
And it was like going through all the new shows, like everything that's coming back. And then, he shows up and he's like, he does his standard Larry David thing, and it's great.
Love it.
So, yeah. Oh, but so I don't feel at home in this world anymore. I'm going to read the little summary by IMDb because it does a pretty good job. It says, when a depressed woman is burglarized, she finds a new sense of purpose by tracking down the thieves alongside her obnoxious neighbor. But then they soon find themselves dangerously out of their depth against a pack of degenerate criminals. And that's a pretty good summary. She basically just, her house gets robbed and she gets caught up in a really messy situation. She goes to the cops and they're like, oh, you know, well, we ain't gonna find him, basically is what they tell her. And then she's like, well, I don't accept that, it sucks. And then it gets kind of like things just kind of, it's like one of those like escalating things, and she kind of like Mr. Magoo's her way through the story. Like it's like she doesn't like think like things happen to her like not on purpose, and then it's just like she gets deeper and deeper type of thing, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And Elijah Wood plays her, that neighbor guy, who's he's like a metalhead, like weird dude.
Yeah, he looks super weird. Like, I'm looking at it right now. It looks crazy.
It's kind of like awkward. He's pretty funny in it, like which is cool. And
doesn't she like go on Craigslist to look for like a hitman or something, and then he pops up?
Was that No.
Yeah,
no.
I think it's
something
else.
That's a whole different thing.
Yeah, never mind.
But, yeah. Drop that.
But, shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up, man. But it's cool. It's a weird movie. I recommend watching it. I don't know if it's like it's not the best movie ever, but it's a cool movie. It's super weird. It's got like brutal, like when violence happens, it's very brutal and graphic.
Really?
And it's got like some funny parts. The producer or the writer director of it, his name's Macon Blair, and he was a producer on Green Room.
Oh.
So it has a similar feel to that.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, that's not right. Like the same plot or anything, but just like when the violence kind of happens, it has that same feel to it.
Gotcha. Realistic.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he also did, have you guys ever seen the movie Blue Ruin?
Sounds
I don't
so
think
familiar.
So.
Blue Ruin's fucking, it's a heavy movie. It's like, it's kind of, if you like John Wick, it's like a not a shittier version of John Wick, but like an amateur version of John Wick, because he's not a trained killer, but it's the same kind of premise.
Okay.
Like he's basically just, I don't know. He's like an amateur, kind of like an amateur assassin. Like he winds up just, he's kind of protecting like his family, and he's just like going out on like vengeance, like revenge to kind of finish out the story type of deal.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So and, the same director from Green Room did this one.
Yeah. 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 And, supposedly he's, they're not connected, but he's like, he's got another movie that's color themed as well. And just like Blue Room, Green Room. And then there's going to be like a, another one with like a color in the title. Like it's another one of those loose
Red kinda, Rain.
Yeah. Something bullshit like that. But, yeah, so Blue Ruin's cool. It's a cool movie. So like, if you've seen those movies and you enjoyed either of those, you'll like that. I don't feel at home in this world anymore. Which it was cool. It was a weird movie. I'll just leave it at that. And it's on Netflix, so you don't have to fucking
shell out any money
to watch it or anything. So
yeah, I need to check that out.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely worth watching. But what else? What else you guys been watching?
Speaking of Netflix, I binged through the second series or second season of Love.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Judd Apatow.
Judd Apatow.
However you say his name.
Judd Apatow.
But, that movie's funny. Like if you like, it's like Freaks and Geeks and stuff. Like this is just right up your alley kind of thing. It's just like kind of like a modern romance. Yeah, it's like every episode is just like the next day or like a couple hours later kind of thing.
Weird.
Okay.
So it's just like a never ending show.
Story?
Kind of never.
Because I watched maybe like the first three or four episodes when it first came out. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed it, but I wasn't like, this is good. You know? But basically I never finished it. So that's how I felt about it. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
It was one of those like, this is all right. And then I just never got around to watching the rest of it. But.
Yeah, it's not hilarious or anything, but it's just I just liked it, so I just like kept watching them because I had nothing else to do, and I like just plowed right through it because they're only half hour episodes.
I was like,
that was actually really good. Then the second season came out, I think on March 10th. So I was like, I could give that a shot, and then I fucking went through that in like 2 days.
I'll have to give it a shot again.
It's so funny, fucking the guy Paul Rust. He's like the main character,
the
actor. Yeah. He reminds me of like a really nerdy version of Mark. Like he kind of looks like him, but like, he sounds kind of like him. And
I can kind of see that.
Like, no offense, like Mark, if you're listening.
Yeah. Mark, you're much cooler than this guy. Yeah.
I was like, this guy's
much cooler.
I was like, this guy's really sweet. He like, kind of reminds me of Mark. And then fucking the roommate of the girl of the Mickey character. Her name is Bertie. Well, it's Bertie. But they always say it like Birdie, like the bird.
Yeah.
And I looked it up on IMDb. It's like, oh, it's fucking Birdie. I like Birdie better.
Like Birdie with a D. Yeah.
But it's funny. Her character, that actress, she kind of looks like fucking Valerie. Fucking, what's her last name? Valerie McInnes.
Jordan's older. Flame.
Yeah. It's like, she totally reminds me of her. But she's from Australia on the show. I don't know if she is in real life, but it's like, it's an Australian version of Valerie.
That's funny. Yeah, because Community was probably one of my favorite shows. And what's her name? Gillian Jacobs is in it.
I never watched that.
Yeah, I never watched. I never got into it either.
Oh, man, it's so good. It's one of those shows, like, the first season was like, but it hit its stride in, like, the second season, and it really killed it for about two seasons or so. And then they kicked the creator-writer guy off because I guess he's, like, kind of a nightmare to work with. And then they ended up bringing him back, and then it was this whole fucking thing.
Is that when Hulu picked it up?
No, Hulu didn't pick it up. They Yahoo.
Yahoo. Yes.
Weird.
Yeah, which is weird because it's like such a weird place to like go to watch something. But Dan Harmon's the guy, and he does Rick and Morty. He writes on Rick and Morty.
I love that show.
Which is great.
That's coming back this year too.
Yeah, this show's so good. But he's good, and I really liked her in that, and I think this is completely different than what Community is, so I think going into it on the basis of liking her from Community, this is like a completely different thing. But fucking, what's his name? Kyle Kinane has he pops up in a couple episodes.
That's pretty cool.
And he does not look anything like him.
Really?
Which is really weird. Like, he shaved his beard.
Oh, what the fuck?
So, like, for a long time, like, I was watching and I was like, I don't even think is that him? I think he's only in, like, the first couple episodes. It's not that much. But he plays like what's her name? The Mickey girl's like ex-boyfriend or something, like early on in the series.
Yeah, I'm trying to look him up now.
And but he's a that was another reason why I was like, oh, I want to watch that show because fucking Kyle Kinane's fucking hilarious.
Oh yeah, yeah. And, I remember him now.
And yeah, but he's got a very small part in it. So yeah, kind
of he's only in a couple
that.
Episodes in the first season.
Yeah. Yeah. But I might have to give that another shot.
Yeah, it's
might.
It's good.
Yeah.
You don't have to like pay too much attention to it. You can just have it like as a background show. Yeah. But
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is Community the one with Chevy Chase?
Yes.
Okay. Chevy that's Chase a, okay. I've seen that.
Yeah. And Danny Glover.
Danny Glover.
Danny Glover's in
not
it?
Danny Glover.
Is that? Or no, what's his
Glover.
Donald? Yeah.
Oh, his son. Up. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like, damn.
That's not his son.
All Star All Cast.
They're not related.
Yeah, you're just messing with us, right, Sean?
What?
Yeah, that's not his son.
What? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not related.
Sure. Mm, they're not related.
That's a disappointment. For real, I thought it was a son. It makes sense.
No, it's not.
Fuck.
You racist motherfucker.
Well, he's cool either way, I guess.
Oh, shit. That's funny. Yeah, he's good. Mm. Yeah, and Danny Pudi's funny. Allison Brie's good. And Joel McHale's actually really good. That was because you think he was just kind of like a one-bit type of guy. And he's really good in that show. In Community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Dong Lover.
Probably I'll never watch it. It's over now, though, right?
Yeah, I never watched the last season, the one that was on Yahoo. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how it ended. It's good. You'd probably really like it, Matt, because there's a lot of like in jokes and there's a lot of like video game references and they'll do like straight up episodes where it all revolves around.
Yeah, I've heard about
like,
that.
Weird shit, and it's just like, oh, this episode's all about video games. Yeah. So it's like done in that perspective, and this episode is like all in Abed's head, and he's thinking about Christmas, so it's like all in claymation, and it's fucking weird.
Yeah, I think I heard about that stuff.
It's a bizarre ass show, but it's cool. It's interesting. It's definitely a show you need to watch from like in order from beginning to end, and stick through like the first season to get to that. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
Because it definitely has continuity, and there's a lot of stuff that kind of plays back and forth and stuff.
Yeah. You can't just watch them out of order.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can't just, like, pick a random episode and judge it on that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, man. I watched another movie, a really fucking weird, artsy-ass movie called American Honey. It's written and directed by this lady named Andrea Arnold. It's got Shia LaBeouf in it, who is... I like Shia LaBeouf.
I like the stuff he's doing in real life.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I just think he's an interesting dude.
He was like, here. That whole flag thing in Tennessee, that was like 20 minutes away.
Oh, really? Shit.
I think it was, fuck, I can't remember the name of the town, but it was like really close by to here. Yeah.
Like, I feel like he made his money with the Transformers movies, and now he just does whatever the fuck he wants.
That's awesome.
And it's cool, because he's just like, fuck it, I'm going to do this weird-ass movie.
Yeah.
And it's cool because he can actually act
Oh yeah!
I remember I don't know if you guys ever saw Battle for Shaker Heights. It was like one of his first movies that he kind of did.
Yeah, and is it the one where he's driving around that little army jeep?
Yeah.
That
movie
was
so goddamn good. And ever since then, I've just been like, this dude's interesting. Like, he kind of reminds me of like James Franco a little bit, where he kind of just does whatever the hell he wants, and he kind of pushes himself to like weird limits. You know what I mean? Like, just for the sake of doing it, not necessarily because it's like good.
Yeah.
just for like the experience.
Just to try it out. Yeah.
Yeah. So I respect that. But this American Honey movie is fucking weird, man. It's so first thing, it's shot in like 4:3, like old school perspective, like TV perspective. So it's not widescreen, which is weird.
Yeah, it's got the bars on the sides.
Yeah, it's super weird. It takes a little bit to get used to. After like 5 minutes, though, you kind of disregard it. But it's I don't know how to explain it. It's like a very hyper real version of like rednecky white trash ghetto culture.
Yeah,
like that middle of America type. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just like, and it's very kind of stereotypical, but still like elements ring true. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, there's this girl who's in like a shitty dysfunctional family. And she ends up not getting courted, but she's at like a Kmart or some shit, and there's this van that drives by and Shia's in it, and then there's just a bunch of like ruckus going on in this van. It's like a 16 passenger, one of those white Ford fucking Econo lines or some shit, you know?
Damn Mormon vans.
Yeah, and it's packed with like kids.
Oh shit.
And they're all just fucking like going crazy and bullshit, and basically he's like, hey, you should come with us, and she's like, what? So basically that's what happens, is like shit goes down at her house and she doesn't want to be there anymore, and she goes along with them, and it's just shitty weird people, and Shia LaBeouf has a rat tail, which is cool.
Damn, that's awesome.
And everyone's just like wild and out. Like, it kind of reminded me of, like that movie Kids, or like any other, like Harmony Korine, like Harmony Korine type of movie. Like, I don't know if you saw Spring Breakers or Gummo or anything like that.
Oh, that shit's weird. Yeah.
I want to see it. It's Spring Breakers.
Spring Breakers is interesting. And this is kind of like, it's very similar to that. But not as like Spring Breakers had like elements of like, I don't want to call it fantasy, but just like, kind of fantasy, like mm-hmm. real life fantasy type of stuff, where this is more grounded. So if you're into like those types of movies, you might be interested in this. But my only gripe with it is it's way fucking too long. This movie was like almost 3 hours long. Jesus. It was just like, it was kind of brutal at some points. Mm. But it was just weird. Like, they're basically like these kids like going from town to town and city to city selling magazines and like basically just ripping people off. Then they hightail it out to a new city and do the same thing. Yeah, basically. But the lead, her name's Star, who is played by, this is her first role ever. And jeez. I was reading like some weird trivia, and the director writer girl basically found her on a beach and was just like, hey, you want to be in a movie? Yeah. And I think a lot of the actors in this are kind of like that outside of Shia. Like, a lot of them are just like random people.
Random extras, like, or something. Yeah.
Yeah. That they just found, like, that's kind of what reminded me of, like, with Kids, is that they're very unpolished amateur people. Like, there's not like trained actors. This is just people being themselves, and themselves are fucking weird.
That's awesome.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. It's almost like Juggalo culture. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
just
like
that.
this weird fucking mix. Yeah. But the only thing I didn't like, but the main character, she's very irrational, like emotionally unstable, has like the mind of like a 14-year-old, like it's jealous when like the guy she likes is like hanging out with someone else, and it's just like she shuts down and just acts like an idiot. It's just like, oh, this is so stupid. Why are you an idiot? But then you look at her life and you look at how she is, and you're like, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Doesn't make it enjoyable to watch, though.
Have you seen, speaking on another Shia LaBeouf movie, have you seen that movie Lawless that he did like a few years ago?
Yeah, with
fucking Tom Hardy. Goddamn, that movie's so fucking good.
That's fucking jamming movie.
Yeah.
With fucking, who's the girl in there?
Jessica Chastain.
Yeah. That's a good movie. I don't know why I just thought about that. But
yeah. That was an awesome movie.
Yeah. I watched that on just like kind of on a random, like, saw it. Like, I never heard anything about it before. I was like, oh, this looks pretty cool. Sounds cool. I didn't even know he was in it. I just knew Tom Hardy was in it. And then, that's a really good fucking movie.
Yeah, I saw that Tom Hardy and Shia LaBeouf, and I was like, I don't care what it is, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah. Check it out.
It could be them hanging out by a pond fishing for an hour and a half, and I'd be like, I'm going to watch that.
Yeah, totally. Speaking of long movies off of that also, I finally got around to watching Gangs in New York. Never seen it before yesterday or Saturday or something.
How'd you like it?
It was cool. I mean, it was like... Yeah. Nothing like to rant and rave about, but it was a good fucking movie.
Oh man, the movie's so good. Fucking Daniel Day-Lewis is so fucking good in that movie.
Yeah, I didn't realize that was him. I had to look it up. I was like, who the fuck is that guy? I don't know why. I just couldn't recognize him, but yeah.
That's the genius of Daniel Day-Lewis.
It's a dude from...
Don't realize it's him.
Yeah, it's a dude from that. There Will Be Blood, right? Yeah.
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 Okay,
yep.
Thought so.
Yeah.
Can't tell behind that sweet mustache he's got.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Dude, that scene where he's fucking doing those cuts on that pig... And he's staring into fucking Leo while he's doing it. Oh, it's so fucking intense.
Yeah, it's so intimidating.
Seriously.
It's like, I will not fucking backstab you or anything.
Yeah, seriously. Just like thinking about that, I'm like, fuck, you don't want to mess with Bill the Butcher.
Seriously. But yeah, it was a cool movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff going on.
Yeah.
In that movie. But what else you guys got?
Let's see here.
Oh, Matt, you said you watched, I think you texted the Office Christmas Party.
Yeah, I watched that the other day. It's okay.
Yeah, what'd you think? It was pretty funny.
Yeah, it's. Have you seen it? Right.
Yeah, I saw it. I saw it in the theaters.
Oh, really?
We had like a free movie pass thing from fucking T-Mobile, so we went and saw it.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was okay for like what it was.
Yeah,
I was kind of expecting to be like a raunchy comedy, but it wasn't all that raunchy.
No, it wasn't. It was not good-hearted, but it was kind of good-hearted. It's as kind of warm-hearted as you can be with some of that stuff.
But yeah, like during the whole time, I was just thinking like, man, that's like a party I'd actually want to go to though.
Yeah, that looked pretty cool. Shit was going crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny though. I like TJ Miller.
He's okay. I'm not like a huge fan of him.
I enjoy him for what he is. Let's put it that way. Like I feel like he's got like maybe two characters in him, but he does that character pretty good.
Yeah, I was gonna say he seems like the same guy in everything I see him in.
Yeah, that's basically what he is. The bumbling stoner guy.
Uh huh. He just has he has like such a unique look to him, so he kind of sticks out.
Yeah.
Like anytime you see him, it's like, oh, that's TJ Miller. Like you don't think of like whatever character he is or.
Yeah, yeah. I think if he kind of played into that and kind of changed his appearance a little bit, he might be able to take it somewhere else. But yeah, you're banging on with that.
Yeah.
He's very recognizable.
Yeah. It's great in Silicon Valley though.
Yeah, that part was like made for him.
Yeah.
He's so goddamn funny in that. Yeah, Office Christmas Party is all right. It had some good hits. All right. It's one of those like, if it's on, I might watch it, but nothing crazy.
Yeah, it's not a lot of like laugh out loud moments in that movie.
No.
It's just kind of like how crazy is this party going to get kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and it sucks because there was a couple of really funny things that happened, but they showed those in the trailer.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of it. It was like, oh, that would have been really funny, but I already knew it was coming. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they blew their load early on that.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen the trailer, it's pretty good. Yeah. It'd probably be a lot funnier.
Who was in it? Yeah, I never even heard of it.
It's with Olivia Munn,
TJ Miller, Jason Bateman, and Jennifer Aniston.
Oh.
Jennifer Aniston's in it too.
Weird, okay.
She's been doing like the same roles lately too now, it feels
Yeah, she kind of has fallen into that trap lately.
Like ever since Horrible Bosses, she's doing like that same shtick.
Yeah, like raunchy, older, middle-aged. Yeah, I guess older, like middle-aged type of raunchy character. Or a hard-ass character or something like that. What was it, that We Are the Millers movie? She was kind of like playing off the same type of thing too.
Yeah, she's a stripper in that one.
Yeah.
That movie was actually pretty funny.
Yeah, that movie was pretty funny.
That was better than, I would say that's better than Office Christmas Party.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Jason Sudeikis is fucking great.
Yeah.
That's what made that movie.
I like that fucking kid, the carny kid that dates the one girl at the circus.
Fucking
fucking love that
regrets.
Kid.
Fucking no regrets.
He always laughs at everything. Fucking cracks me up.
No, I'm saying. No, I'm saying.
No, I'm saying.
Not me. Not me. Not me.
Sean, you'd like that guy.
Yeah. Is this a brand new movie?
It came out a couple years ago.
Oh, okay.
It's a little.
Maybe like 2015, 2014-ish.
Office Christmas Party?
Sounds about right.
No, this is...
We're the Millers.
We're the Millers.
Oh, We're the Millers. Okay.
Oh, We're the Millers.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, shit. What else we got? Oh, I watched that Bleed for this movie with Miles Teller in it.
It was aight.
Especially after watching that after fucking Creed. Man, that shit was like... It was like watching fucking... It was like going from like Mike Tyson fights to fucking backyard wrestling.
It like it was that bad.
No, it's just like as far as the boxing goes, like the way that it was shot was so like rudimentary compared to how Creed was shot.
Yeah.
Is it the same dude who did
just
Creed?
Like slow? No. Yeah.
It's just another boxing movie.
Oh, just in general. Like, okay.
Yeah, just the cinematography of like the fight scenes were just like night and day. But Miles Teller plays. It was a real life story, which was kind of neat.
Yeah.
And kind of crazy. This dude named Vinny Pazienza, whatever. So he's like, I don't even want to explain it because I went into this not knowing anything about this other than he was a boxer. So I'm not even going to say like what the hook or anything of it is. It's just, and don't, I implore you to not read up on it because it'll make the movie that much better.
Mm.
Like if you don't know what's going to happen. So, but it's cool. The real standout in this movie for me was Aaron Eckhart.
Yeah, the trainer.
Or Eckhart, Aaron Eckhart, whatever his name is.
Yeah, he was good.
The guy that played fucking Two-Face.
Yeah.
Eckhart, so weird.
Crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, right.
And he plays this like fat fucking trainer guy and it's fucking like, it took me like 3/4 of the movie before I even realized it was him. I was
really?
Like, holy shit. Yeah. Because he's like bald and fat and it's just like doesn't look like him at all. And then it was cool. I liked it. I liked him in it. Let's put it that way.
Oh, that's the one with Katie Sagal's in it, right?
Yes, she plays his mom.
Seagull?
She's not a big...
Seagull?
She doesn't have a huge part, but she's in it, yeah.
Yeah,
I think I've seen something on... Is it on Netflix?
I don't think so.
I don't remember where I watched it. I've seen it somewhere. Okay.
I might have rented it on something.
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe I've seen it on like Google Play or something. Okay.
Yeah, possible. That's a possibility.
That's a possible.
But that's a possible. What else you guys got? Anything?
I watch them like...
Oh, yeah, you said you were watching some TV shows.
Some like series things on Netflix. I heavily got into this Grand Designs show. It's essentially just like a home build show where homeowners just build houses themselves, and they have these crazy fucking concepts. Like this dude builds a house out of... Fuck, I can't remember the name of the material, but essentially it's just like hay and dirt and water and weird mud. It just...
Is he building like a fucking yurt?
It's almost as like a clay house.
Okay.
But it's like an old, a really old fucking way to build a house, and he builds this like monstrosity of a house like mainly out of that. It's pretty fucking intense. But it's cool. Like a lot of people have just like crazy concepts. Like one of them is like a really Japanese themed house.
Is it like a Netflix show or is it?
I don't know. I don't know if
it's like HGTV.
It's on like History Channel or HGTV. I have no idea actually.
Okay.
It might be a Netflix. Yeah. It's pretty interesting. Just like the architectural aspect of it is definitely interesting.
I like shows like that.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. And it's all based in the UK.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool. But, the host is pretty awesome.
HGTV.
Yeah. He just like follows around and documents like the process of the build. Like some of them are like 2 years long and they'll like revisit when it's finally done. But it's pretty cool. It's interesting. The host is kind of comical too most of the time, which is funny.
That's neat. Yeah. It's kind of cool that it's not like the guy that's building it or,
it's not like
Mike Holmes or fucking like the couple that redesigned some shit.
Exactly. It's like, oh, they just goes around. Document this
more documentary
crazy
style.
Fucking house. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
yeah. Some dude builds a house out of like just entirely. He has these like specially made like wood panels. Essentially, like that's all his house is made of, and his roof weighs like fucking tons, and it's like two giant pieces, and that's it. It's like he had this company compress like I don't know, like layers and layers of different kinds of woods, and it's fucking insane. It weighs like a ton. Eventually, it falls off the crane. It's great. but yeah, it's definitely interesting for sure. If you're into design and stuff, check it out. It's pretty cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to give that a watch. It might be a when I'm laying in bed and got nothing better to
watch.
Yeah,
exactly.
Type of deal.
Yeah. I think I'm into like season two. I think there's two seasons on Netflix right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Huh. I tend to do that a lot with HGTV shows.
Like yeah.
Just
yeah,
put them on to watch.
Exactly.
In the background.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's sometimes cool. You pop up and you're like, oh, that's cool.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, oh, where's this house at?
Yeah.
It's
kind of like that. What the hell is that like artist show that's on there now? Abstract.
Oh, okay. It is like that.
Yeah. It's kind of something.
I was going to actually ask if it was like
it's kind of like that. Yeah. Same like
that show's
concept.
Cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I just finished that show up about a week ago.
I've only watched like half of those episodes because some of them just like, I don't really.
Yeah, some
really
of them
give
are
a
weird.
Shit about
it's,
this.
It's cause it's, yeah, because it's like situational. Like if you have no interest in something.
Yeah, or it's just like something, oh, that I could probably tell what that episode's about. I don't really need to watch it.
Yeah, but there's some of them that like surprised me. Like the girl that did, she was like set design, like theater stuff.
Yeah, that's the one I didn't even watch. I was like, that sounds boring.
But that one, I wasn't too like going into it. I was like, I don't know about this, but it was fucking, that one was really cool. Like it was really neat, actually.
Yeah, I like the Nike one. And
yeah, the Nike one was cool.
I can't remember what else.
Do you watch that Chef's Table show?
No. I know what you're talking about.
It's basically, it's like that, but it's all just chefs.
Weird. Okay.
It's super cool.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, it's nuts. Like, it's like the artist end of like cooking food.
Okay.
So, you know, it's like they'll serve fucking food on
crazy
like
plates.
Fucking. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's neat. But it's more about like the person and their journey to being a chef than it is about the food. The food's just kind of like the accent to it.
Yeah.
You know, which is neat.
That sounds cool.
That show's awesome. It's in, I think they're on the third season, just launched not too long ago. But that show's cool. But
give it a whirl.
Anything else you guys want to add? You had another show on here, Dirt Every Day.
Oh, yeah. It's another show, just kind of like a background show just to put on. It's like, kind of interested in this, looked cool. Apparently it started out as like a YouTube almost like web series, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know if it's like the same episodes from YouTube and they just put it on Netflix, or the dude actually like got a Netflix thing and fucking made all new episodes. That I don't know.
Gotcha.
But it's pretty cool. Like, he just gets, essentially like buys old trucks and Jeeps off of like Craigslist, or like gets trucks and converts them to like off-roading machines. Like, he'll put like, he'll soup them up for like shocks and fucking off-road tires and all that shit. But he mainly like gets like old beat up shit and then just like works on it. Soups it up, takes it off-roading. It's pretty awesome. Dude, he fucking takes an RV and makes it into a go-kart.
What?
He completely fucking knocks the RV down, minus like the frame. And
wait, so how big is this go-kart?
Dude, it's the length of the RV.
Holy shit.
It's fucking awesome. Yeah, so the back seat, like the seat is in the back, and there's a fucking like 10-foot steering column for the steering wheel. And there's like a little guardrail around him and where he sits. It's fucking awesome. And he like races through the desert with another go-kart. It's fucking hilarious. But it's pretty cool. It's just like silly shit out like that. It's like, oh, this is kind of entertaining.
So is it like, is every episode like a new project type of thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Or just like, okay.
And he does it all himself, the dude who hosts it. Like, it's funny because like, I'm not surprised it was a YouTube thing, because it's totally just like a dude going through the process as like a YouTube video, just like random.
Okay.
Like, how do you fix this? Like, that's what you see that dude on.
Okay,
but
gotcha.
He's kind of funny. He has a, during that RV episode, he has a friend come on. He's known for a long time, and he's in a wheelchair. He had some accident. I can't remember what the fuck the description was, but essentially he's like paralyzed from the waist down.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes a joke of like the dude in the wheelchair, like, hey, you better do that, blah blah blah, because you know this happens, and you know, whatever. He's like, mm-hmm. He's like, oh, what worse can happen to you? Like, Jesus Christ. Pretty much just makes a crippled joke. It's pretty funny. Yeah, it's a good show. Shit, it's funny. A good show. If you're into like
that sounds
building
fun.
Shit or just like off-roading stuff, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of that Monster Garage show back in like 2002.
They put that on Netflix recently too.
Yeah, I saw that popped up the other day.
That's funny.
But yeah, it's mainly just like one dude and he does all the work himself. It's pretty cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, those are cool. That'll give me something to watch. I might watch one of those tonight, actually.
Yeah.
It sounds fun.
Yeah, watch that RV one. It's great.
Yeah, I'll have to give it a shot.
Yeah, he has like a local like team or like a car club or some shit come in and help him.
Okay.
And then just like demolish the RV. Like from fucking down to the fucking axle, pretty much.
That's cool.
It's awesome.
It's like the car shop class from high school.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. It's like fucking 30 people. It's like some weird local truck off-roading club or something.
Yeah.
Neat. Well, I think that covers us for us.
Wraps it up, yeah.
That about wraps it up. Yeah, seriously. Yeah, we've been rambling on for about an hour and 15 minutes or so now.
Feel sorry for the people who listen to this.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
Wake up, motherfucker.
So, in recap.
Oh, shit.
Woo!
Here we go.
Nah. But check out the Darkest Hour album and the Acceptance album.
Yes.
Forgot about those.
Yeah, seriously.
That's the same episode? What the fuck?
Yeah, seriously. And we'll catch you next time.
See you next time.
Smell you later.